All right. Well, everybody get them a plate full? Everybody did, because ain't nobody saying nothing. All your mouths are full of food. I love it. That's the only way to make my house quieter. I want to give a shout out real quick to Ashley and Candy. They're at Andrea's table. Where y'all at? Hey, there we go. Andrea, she knows. They brought the chicken noodle soup right here, and it's on point. I'll send you my address after this. I take deliveries, you know. Well, guys, hey, you made it. It's week eight. I had somebody come up to me a while ago, and this does my heart good, and they said, I don't want it to end. She said, I don't. She said, I don't want it to end. It don't have to. This that we're doing, this is the life God calls us to lead all the time. And here's the cool thing about it. The past 7 weeks, we've talked about alignment. We've talked about how to encounter God. We've talked about walking in the Spirit and fasting and strongholds and generational hand-me-downs. We've talked about all of these things. Well, tonight, we're going to equip you. Tonight, we're going to show you truly how to walk in this victory every day. I got something really neat that I want to show you. But before we get started, I got a couple of things of business to deal with. So right after the teaching, where's my wife at if I'm right on this? We're going to have a meeting for everyone that is going to the retreat. We're going to get y'all out of here early, I promise, at least by 9:30. But we're going to have the meeting is very important. So make sure if you're going to the retreat, all right, that you stay for the meeting. Remember, all money needs, yes?
It's a 15-minute meeting. It will be in and out in 15 minutes.
Okay, so church time, that means 30. You don't have church time equates. No, a 15-minute meeting after, but listen, if you're still on the fence of going, you still have time to sign up. If you're still on the fence of going, that's God tugging you to go. Okay, if you're still questioning whether or not that you're going to gain something for this or you're going to benefit and this is for me, I promise you it is. So all the money has to be turned in tonight, okay, before you leave. And so if you're still undecided and you want to sit in the meeting and just hear what it's about, we encourage you to sit in the meeting, all right? We want to give you every opportunity all the way up to the last mark to sign up for this because we know it'll change your life, okay? So as soon as we're done, we're going to take a small break. And then we'll come back in and we'll have our meeting. Tonight, we're talking about my favorite topic in the Bible. I love to fight. I love to battle. It's who I am. It's in my nature. I love getting down in the muck and mire of things. I loved football. I was dirty. I was that guy underneath the pile. I would poke you, scratch you, whatever it took to get ahead. I was mean. I loved it. I've always loved the nitty-gritty portions of life. Well, tonight we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about battling. I love this section. This is my favorite topic to teach on, is spiritual warfare. And the reason why is because when we leave tonight, you will understand just how much power and authority you have based off of what Jesus Christ has done. And when you realize how much power and authority you have through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, remember we talked about it through strongholds, about the blood of Jesus was for so much more than just salvation. It was for completion. Everything's been completed. Hey, it was for authority too. Because he took the last step and defeated the grave, and so he has gained victory over everything. And do you know that God give us the same authority through his son? That the same authority Jesus Christ has, we possess through him? That's real stuff. That's biblical stuff. So as I'm teaching on this, think about that. Let that resonate in your heart that I have that authority in my life. Yes. It doesn't matter how big, small, different type of battling. All right, this isn't This isn't the gridiron of football where the stronger one prevails over the smaller one. This isn't that type of battling. This is a battling done, all right, right here, and right here. And we're going to show you tonight how to truly be warriors. And here's the greatest thing. Imagine any soldier, any warrior that's ever entered into battle, and they walked on that battlefield knowing that they were victorious. You get to walk onto this battlefield tonight and on the battlefield of the rest of your life knowing that you're victorious because of what Jesus Christ has done. I want to open up with prayer. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you have got us to this point. God, we thank you that we sit in here tonight. God, we have cried, we have laughed, we have been confused. God, you have enlightened things in our life. Father God, we've dealt with things, we're dealing with things. And God, it's all for one purpose. It's to draw us closer to you, God, that you may have the glory in our victory, that you may have the glory in our story. God, there's over 100 stories in this room tonight. You deserve the credit and the praise and the hallelujahs for every story in here tonight. And God, I pray as we go through this, I pray, Father, that you anoint my lips, God, that you hide me behind your cross, God, that your word is delivered, your authority is delivered, your authority is shown, and your authority is proven, God, that we have the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ, living inside of us. And God, I just pray that you open every heart, every mind, every ear, God, to what you have tonight. God, the hearts that are in here tonight that need to feel your presence, Father, I pray and thank you and receive your presence in Jesus' name. We love you. We praise you. We ask all these things and stake claim to them to your mighty Son. Amen. Amen. All right. Let me set this two-hour alarm. We ain't got no break. I done worked y'all into a corner. I got two glasses of water. My wife said, I sound like I was drinking, like a cow was drinking when I was drinking out of my big Yeti thing. So I had to go to the glass. But tonight we're talking about spiritual warfare. And it starts in Ephesians. But before we get started, God showed me something so powerful, so life-changing, that if you've ever heard this teaching before, it'll change your life. If you've never heard this teaching before, it'll change your life. I've taught this for years. God changed my life this week about the armor. And this is some of the most powerful stuff I've ever seen in Scripture, and I'm fixing to share it with you. When Paul begins to write Ephesians, he's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he starts off in Ephesians 1 and 1. I've read the greetings and the introductions to these things for years and have never paid attention to them till now. And I've been doing a study on this, and I'm fixing to show you some powerful, powerful stuff that applies to everybody in this room tonight. Ephesians 1 and 1 says, this is Paul writing, he says, I am writing to God's holy people. Okay. So I'm set apart. Okay, I'm God's holy people. There's so much more to that. See, the word holy does mean to be set apart. But holiness is a product of being a saint. We're a saint because God has chosen us. We've received salvation. So because we're a saint, we're holy. So because of what Jesus has done and the decisions that we have made, we are holy. We are set apart. Well, what are we set apart from? The unholy. Why are we set apart? If we're set apart, that means that, listen, there is a different expectation, a higher expectation on our life. Jesus Christ, the Creator, has set us apart. That means there's a different expectation on our life. Because if there wasn't, how could the unholy ever see Jesus in the holy if we didn't live a higher standard of living? If we didn't have a higher calling on our life, if we weren't set apart and looked different than the unholy, well, what are the unholy? That's the lost. That's the ones that don't know Jesus. That's the ones that are that are pining for something and looking for something in all the wrong areas of their life, they need hope. Well, that hope is in you. That power is in you. That's why we're set apart. That's why our life has a different level of expectation, is so that others can see Jesus Christ in us. Because if the unholy look at the holy and we look just like them, where's the transformation? There is none. That's a responsibility. So that word holy, to be set apart, expresses two things. It expresses responsibility. Do you all agree with that? Now, here's the awesome thing. But when it expresses responsibility, it expresses privilege. When it expresses responsibility, it expresses privilege. So when God gives you a responsibility, there's a privilege to follow, and I'm fixing to prove it to you. That's why the so's and the therefores and the buts in the Bible are so powerful. Look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. This, hey, y'all lean in on this. This is powerful. Hey, this scripture right here is what everything we're talking about tonight is based around. He says, finally. Ephesians is talking about all kind of stuff, about marriage and about spiritual stuff and how to act and righteousness and sin. And then he's talking about all of this, and Paul, and he says, finally. Here's a responsibility. Stay with me. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Here's your first responsibility encounter. Put on the full armor of God. Put it on. I'm going to teach you how to put it on tonight. That's responsibility. What did I say followed responsibility? Privilege. Look at that word, so. You put the armor on so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Is that not why you signed up for Encounter? It's because you wanted to know how to battle this thing in your life. You wanted to know how to get victory. You wanted to know how to get power and freedom and peace and hope and strength. That's why you're in here. Whether you signed up for it just because it was something thrown up on the screen or not, that's why everybody is in here tonight. That's why I'm standing here teaching tonight, because I want power in my life. I want authority in my life. I want to be able to battle the devil's schemes. The responsibilities put on the full armor of God. Privileges so that you can take up your stand against the devil's schemes. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Listen, guys, you cannot fight this enemy with a pistol, with a bat, with a knife, with a fist. You can't do it. You cannot do it. This is spiritual battle. This is a battle that's raging above us nonstop in the spirit realm, and it's for your soul, it's for your freedom, it's for all of these things. But God give us the proper armor, not to just defend, but to annihilate our enemy. Here's another responsibility. It says, because of all of this, because of this struggle, because of this spiritual battle in the heavenly realms, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. It's the second time Paul has said it. It's the second time he's given us response. He said, hey, because of this, put on the armor. Put it on. And it says, so that when the day of evil comes, it doesn't say if it comes. It says when it comes, it's going to come. It's already been in your lives. It's in your life right now. You're going to deal with it tomorrow. Is anybody in here not dealt with the enemy lately? If you have, come and tell me your secret. But I want to tell you something, Encounter. If you're battling the enemy and he's trying to knock your feet out from underneath you, if he's got your wife sick, your family sick, your finances look crazy and you're giving to the Lord and this is happening and this is happening, count it joyful. You want to know why? Because you're making marks in the kingdom and the enemy hates it. Count it joyful. If your life's in wreckage right now because the enemy's attacking you, count it joyful, because you know what? You're doing something for the Lord. You're making waves in the kingdom, and you're knocking on the door of hell saying, you can't have me. You can't have me because of what my Father did. Hey, that's power right there. And the enemy hates it. He hates it with everything that he is. And you want to know why he hates it? Because there's nothing he can do about it when you're covered underneath the blood of Jesus, because it's already defeated him. And he knows it. That's why it says he's roaring like a lion, because he's all bark and no bite when it comes to Jesus. When it comes to Jesus, you stand against him on your own, you're going to get annihilated. But when it comes to the blood of Jesus, he's beat. You're on the battlefield of victory. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, a responsibility, so that when the day of evil comes, here's our privilege. So when it comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. You know what I love about God? He doesn't say attack. Why would you have to attack an enemy that's already whooped? You don't have to attack. God says, stand firm. If I walked on the battlefield and I knew my enemy was defeated, I wouldn't attack him. I'd protect myself. That's all God's saying. He's saying, protect yourself. That's what the armor wasn't so you could attack. The armor was so you could be protected. God said, stand firm. Protect yourself. I've already whooped him. You're just in the battle. All you got to do is maintain. The victory is yours. And it goes on to say, and it says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're fixing to dig through this. We're fixing to unpack this, and I'm fixing to show you some power. Fast facts real quick. There are 6 separate pieces of armor that God provides for our spiritual protection from the enemy. 6 separate pieces. Ephesians instructs us to put it on daily. We are instructed to put it on daily. The armor was created and made available to us by God. And then the last one, it says, every part of the armor and every tool is strategic and needed to resist and defeat the enemy. Listen, if you neglect one portion of the armor, it leaves you vulnerable. You can't neglect any of it. It's a suit. You have to have it all. You buy a tuxedo, put the pants on, you put the shoes on, you put the shirt on, but you don't put the jacket on, it ain't a tuxedo no more. It's just pants and a shirt. But you put that jacket on, and guess what? People recognize that you're in a tuxedo. You cannot neglect any portion of it. And I'm going to show you just how important every piece is. Let's get going through this. First one, belt of truth. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Why is the belt of truth? Simple. Belt holds everything together. Truth holds everything together. Me standing up here right now, if I was unbuckle my belt, I'd have to hold my pants up the whole time because they would fall down. It's holding me together. It's holding my pants up. It serves a purpose. I tuck my shirts into it, and I hang my knife on it and my keys, whatever, but the belt holds everything together. Well, what is the belt of truth? How does it hold everything together? Because if you don't walk in truth, but hey, here's the new layer that God showed me. If you don't know truth. And what do you mean don't know truth? How can you know if you're victorious or not if you don't know who Jesus is? How do you know that you're walking in victory if you don't know the characteristics of God? God calls himself Jehovah Tsaba. That means God warrior. He's the God of all the warriors. God is a warrior. He's a warrior. He's a victorious warrior. That's truth that you all get to hang on to. But if you don't know the truth of who God is, how can you have authority in your life when you don't know where your authority comes from? Well, how do we obtain this knowledge of Christ? Relationship, studying the Word, going through encounter, going through growth, taking next steps, spending time in the Word, praise and worship music, whatever it is, podcast, make sure they're biblical. Because there's a whole lot of junk out there that will teach you a lie about who Jesus is. Make sure that whatever you absorb about the characteristics of God and Jesus line up with the Word of God. And when you know the truth of who He is, then you can begin to find out who you are. You'll never know who you truly are until you know who Jesus is. You can't discover it. But in that process, we have to operate in truth. Truth can be tough sometimes. We have to be truthful with ourselves and where we're at in our walk. We have to be truthful with ourselves and the way we act and the people we run around with and the groups we're part of, and are we serving how God? Are we using our times, our treasures, and our talents how God's called us to use them? If you're not, you're missing out. You need to tighten your belt up a little bit. Because, hey, serving, we were created to do that. The truth of the matter is you need it more than the church needs it. Because it draws you closer to Christ. And you understand and begin to find your God-given potential and your purpose. Well, that's the mission of the church. If that's the mission of the church, I'm pretty sure that's God's mission. Because He sees potential in all of His children. All of His children. But you have to operate in truth. This one right here rattled me about that. See, first of all, let me read this. We use the belt of truth to stabilize everything else by keeping everything in its proper order. We just talked about that. But this is what God revealed to me about the truth. And this right here is going to hit some of y'all. You know that we can speak the truth, but then turn around and not walk in it? There's a whole bunch of us can talk the talk, but when nobody's looking, we're not walking the walk. That ain't truth. Partial truth's what? It's a lie. You can't preach to someone to live righteous, and then you live like hell when no one's looking. You can't do it. You can't tell someone, hey man, you need to get in that church, you need to get involved. I see you struggling, brother. I see this on your life. But then you'd rather be at the deer lease on a Sunday or fishing or NFL, whatever it may. I don't care what it is, shopping, whatever, underwater basket weaving. I don't care. Whatever it is that drags you away from what God's calling you to do, that ain't truth. That's a lie. That's you. You may be speaking some knowledge, but you're living a lie. If you speak it, you have to walk it. Husbands, don't go telling your buddy how to be a good husband when you're not willing to be one at home. Wives, don't go tell your friends how good you are to your man when it's different behind closed doors. That's a lie. It takes both. It takes both. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you live it, you don't have to speak it. People can see it on you. If you got to run around trying to convince everybody that you're a good person, there's a good chance you're not a good person. That ain't truth. Belt of truth. Belt of truth. John 8:44, I love this scripture, says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." You want to know how potent lies are? The enemy's a father of them all. I lied like crazy when I was a little boy. Like crazy. Here was the bad thing. Is I'd tell one lie, and I'd tell another and cover that one up, another cover that one up, and before I know it, I got so confused. My dad got tired of whooping me over lies. I deserved every bit of it. But Jesus says in John 14:6, he says, "Hey, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's a dividing line of how powerful truth is. Jesus says, "I'm truth. Satan's a father of lies." Which one are you going to follow? Not so much, which one are you going to follow? Hey, which one are you going to represent? Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the definition of righteousness is the quality of being morally right or justifiably righteous and right standing before God according to God's standards. The breastplate is the piece of armor that protected all of the chest. And what's in behind your chest cavity? What else? Your vital organs. Righteous living protects your way of life. Look at this definition of righteousness. Hey, this one right here got me. This one right here made me look in the mirror, have to check myself up this week. Upright in character. Listen to me. Loyalty in principle and action to the holy law of God. Loyalty to the principle, that's the thought, the written law, hey, and action. You can't just talk about the God's law. You got to be obedient to God's law in your actions. That's righteousness. You can tell righteousness on someone when you see them. Righteousness isn't something you have to sell somebody. Righteousness you can see. Because when you wear the breastplate of righteousness and it's cinched up with the belt of truth, you see how these pieces are starting to be put together? Truth, when you operate in truth, righteousness will be shown. If you operate in righteousness, you'll live in truth. You see how they're starting to interlock each other? So if we don't protect our heart, all right, we don't protect the vital organs in our life, what will happen? We'll shut down and die. How do we protect our heart? We got to control what comes in here. Because when it comes in here, what we do with it here, it gets down to the heart, and if we have a poisonous heart, we're going to display a poisonous heart. But God didn't create a poisonous heart in you. When you received salvation, you received a new heart. See, that's why you're holy. See, every one of you in here that know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a holy heart. You got to protect it. Because if your heart quits beating, you're done. If your lungs quit working, you're done. Righteousness protects the vital organs in your life. Breastplate of righteousness, put it on. Number three. Oh, we get into these good ones now. Number three. The sandals of peace. And it says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The readiness given by the gospel of peace. What does that mean? What does readiness mean? Why are we shodding our feet with this thing called peace? Well, let's look at the definition of peace. The definition says freedom from disturbance or war, quiet and tranquil, order. It says peace as a part of the fruit of the Spirit should be constant in our lives. Here's the thing about peace, guys. When we stand in peace, it doesn't mean that there's not turmoil going on around us. But what it means is we get to dig our feet in. And if you study the Roman soldier, see, when Paul wrote this, he was chained to a Roman soldier. So he got the visual of this Roman soldier's outfit. All right, this is where the idea of this come from. And so if you study them, their shoes were called caligas, and they had spikes on them. Okay, they were, and what are spikes meant for? Why would there be spikes? They actually drove nails through these leather sandals. What would the nails be for? Say it again. Traction. Hold your ground. Hey, Christians, you got to dig your feet in. All right? You got to dig your feet in because you're going to get attacked. All right? If you don't have a good foundation, what's our foundation? What's our foundation, Encounter? Word of God. Righteousness is part of the foundation. Truth is part of the foundation. You got to get your feet dug in with these caligas, with these spiked shoes, and operate in peace. And the best way I can describe it is like a duck on water. He looks calm and steady on the top. But if you was to look underneath that water, he is going just 90 miles an hour. Does that not represent your life? 10,000 things going on in your mind, in your heart. Kids going this way. Got one sick. Can't pay this bill. This going wrong. My car's broke down. I need new tires. My wife's acting crazy. My husband's acting crazy. I, I'm, 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 I'm scared for the health of my mom or my dad or whatever it may be. 10,000 things going on. And God says, stand firm. Stand firm in peace. I don't need chaos. I can't operate in chaos. God doesn't operate in chaos. God operates in complete peace. And he said, if you'll stand there, son, daughter, I'll work you through this. I'll work the good and the bad around you, but I need you to stand firm. But why does it say readiness? Because this is the other portion of it. Is not only do we have to be in a position to stand firm in these chaotic times that we live in and stand firm for Christ and stand firm for the Word and stand firm for our families and for our marriages and for our children and for our co-workers and our extended family, for our church, for the hurting and for the lost. But we also have to be ready. Y'all hear this? To be willing to take the peace of Jesus to others. To take the peace of Jesus to others. That's not attack mode. That doesn't mean you chase people down. Had a brother come in the door a while ago before this class starts, and I know why he come here now. He's in turmoil. I don't know if his story's true or not. Said his house burnt down. Said they don't have nothing. He was looking for help. You could tell he was hurting, and as he walked away, God said, go pray over him. So me and Chris Henson went and laid our hands on him. We prayed on him, helped him with some stuff. You could feel the chaos in his body. He's clinging to a thread of hope. Where did he end up? He's already called the sheriff's department, and they told him about all the different programs of town. Where did he come? To the church. He's seen cars in the parking lot of a church. He's from Palestine. And he's like, I know I can get some help there. I know I can get some help there. My job, my responsibility, hear this, because I am set apart, was to tell that brother about Jesus and to remind him that he was loved by the Father. And to remind him he still had a purpose. And to remind him that God had a calling on his life. And remind him that he was not alone. You know what the privilege was? I got to plant a seed. That's the privilege. What he does with that, I don't know. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility was to show him the fruits of the Spirit. Well, I'm pretty sure that peace and love are two of those. That was our responsibility. I promise, I knew it was time to quit praying for him because I felt his body quit shaking. You want to know why? Because for that moment, he had a little bit of peace. He had a little bit of hope. That's the readiness of the gospel of the peace. And if you don't have your feet dug in the ground and you don't have a steady base underneath you and you're not fighting this battle, you cannot take something to somebody that you don't have. You can't give it to somebody if you don't possess it. Operate in that peace and see if God doesn't say, all right, you're ready. You're ready. Go tell my lost son or daughter about what I've done in your life. That's peace because that's hope. Go tell them about the peace that I've brought into your, into the tranquility that I've brought into your chaos. Even if you're in the middle of chaos, we're called to step aside of it. Let them feed under that water like a duck, go 90 miles an hour, but you remain calm and steady in the presence of the Lord and the promise of the Lord and the hope of the Lord and the security of the Lord. Remain in it so that you're ready to tell the lost or tell a hurting brother or a hurting sister about the peace that God's put in your life. That's powerful. You want to know why? That's spreading the gospel. The enemy hates it. The enemy hates peace. He tries to create chaos in our lives so we do not display peace and spread peace, because if he can keep our lives chaotic, he can keep our minds focused on something other than the Father. But when we fight the chaos with the peace in our life and we speak peace and pour peace out on top of others, it begins to demolish that chaos in our lives and others' lives. And I'm fixing to show you how to band together and do that. And if you study how the sandals were put on, they weren't Crocs. They strapped up all the way up and they tied to the belt. So now your peace, the sandals that your feet are shod with are tied to the belt of truth, which is tied to the breastplate. Multiple parts, one suit. Sandals of peace, Galatians 5 and 22 says, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's an extension of God. Number four, the shield of faith. Trey, the shield of faith. It says Ephesians 6 and 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Flaming darts. What are flaming darts? You know what flaming darts are? Flaming darts are the sharp arrows of people's tongues. If you looked at how their flaming darts were built, there was a big old point and it had a shaft. It looked more like a dart than an arrow. And then you had the shaft of impurity or the shaft of selfishness or doubt or fear or disappointment. They are planned by the enemy to burn and destroy. You've got this lit arrow or this lit dart, and it's people's words that they speak into your life. And hey, it's the words that we speak into people's life. And if we don't have a shield of faith, those darts will begin to penetrate us. And they'll begin to poke holes into us. And before you know it, we have so many holes in us, it's hard to repair us. As some of y'all in here tonight can relate to that. As some of y'all in here tonight got lots of holes in you. I'm finna show you how to deal with them holes. Because, encounter team, y'all come up here. All right. Faith, the definition of faith means complete trust or confidence in, listen to me, encounter, complete trust or confidence in someone or something not seen. Belief beyond proof, trust or confidence in what we cannot see. It's believing that Jesus Christ has a way and has a plan. And I'm fixing to show you a true physical representation of the power of our faith. Listen, Roman soldiers, when they were in battle, they'd flip their shields up and they would all link together. And it create one big shield. And what it did was it made it harder for the arrows and the darts and the flaming darts to get through. Taylor, come up here. You part of this. It make it hard for the darts to get through. I'm fixing to show you. Paige, stand right here. She's one person. Standing alone. She's married, got a kid. Got a job. She's got things in her life that she's praying for right now. She's got siblings she's praying for right now. Okay? She's got things in her life she needs God to show up. And listen, if she stands on her own, I'm going to show you what she can do. See, she has no strength. You want to know why? Because I'm bigger and stronger than she is. She can't overcome me. But watch what happens when you add a faithful spouse on this side, Trey. You see the resistance? Whitney, you put a godly sister beside her. Encounter team, lock up. This is what faith looks like, people. Now you imagine this. This sister right here going through a tough time. All right? Now look, I can't move her. You want to know why? Because she's got a husband linked up with her. She's got a leader and a sister and a brother. And now they're praying. Now they're fasting. Now they're on their knees. And guess what? Darts can't penetrate that. That's what faith looks like. Listen, encounter. What if every one of us in here linked arms? What would it do to this church? It would change it. What if this church linked arms in faith like this? What would it do to our community? It would change it. What if our community did it? It would change our city. And our city would change our county. And our counties would reach other counties and our regions. And before you know it, it would change the state. This is the power of faith. When you interlock with your brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, Encounter, but that excites me because I know I got an army behind me. There's some of y'all are standing on an island right now by yourself. You're standing on an island and you're getting annihilated. You want to know why you're getting annihilated? Because you haven't linked up with nobody. You haven't linked up with the right people. You got your arms locked into somebody weaker than you. You got to lock up with the right people. That's in the church. That's right here. You got people, William, Mike, sitting to the left and to the right of you that you should link up with. Amber, you got a table full of sisters to link up with you. Steve, you got a brother to the left of you to link up with you. That's the power. And then when we begin to link up and throw our shields up and the darts don't pierce us as much, our faith strengthens. She's stronger now. Not because of what she did, but because of what they did. You know what she had to do? Unlock your arms. Lock them together, Trey Page. Responsibility. That's a responsibility. That's Trey's responsibility as a husband, is to lock arms with his wife. Lock arms with her, Mama. That's the responsibility of a sister in Christ, is to lock arms. You know what the privilege is? Numbers. Strength. I told you, there's privilege and there's responsibility. This is the responsibility of every one of us in here. Do you know what privileges will come when we begin to do this right here? You're going to have an opportunity in 2 weeks at this retreat to do this right here with brothers and sisters that'll change you forever. And you will walk this walk called the Christian life powered and strengthened, or you'll walk it on your own defeated. It's your choice. You have a choice tonight to obtain and hold on and do the responsibility and receive the privilege. Y'all sit down. Imagine you're locked arms with brothers and sisters in Christ and your lead general soldier is Jesus Christ. Now, you won't talk about transformation. There is nothing in your life that you cannot overcome when you lock arms with brothers and sisters and Jesus Christ is at the front leading. There's nothing. The only thing that's on the other side of it's victory. And hey, that's walking in victory. That's not asking for victory. That's not hoping for victory. That's walking in victory. Encounter, you can walk in victory tonight. Walk in victory tonight. You don't have to be on that island by yourself anymore. You are loved by the Father, number one, but you are loved by a church. You are loved by a team. You are loved by a staff of pastors. You are loved. Quit doing life alone. Quit doing life alone. I'm a big old boy. I can imagine if I had just one little old shield covering me, all sorts of me would be hanging out. I'd have fiery darts all in me. All in me. But hey, I tell you what, when my brothers and sisters lock arms with me, I'm covered. Oh, we got to keep going. Whew. Thank you, Lord. The last one, it's the helmet of salvation. No, number five, the helmet of salvation. Salvation, it's the deliverance from the power and effects of sin, preservation from destruction or failure. It's the helmet of salvation. Here's why this is important. See, we must walk in our deliverance daily. If we don't live as redeemed, free from death, forgiven, empowered by the Holy Spirit, saved children, the enemy will begin to whisper lies into our ears that cause death and destruction. See, we must protect the mind with the helmet. So only the truth of God and ourselves absorb into our hearts, which then flows from the mouth. This isn't in your notes, but Luke 6:45 says, what you say flows from what's in your heart. How does it get in your heart? It comes in your mind. We can't control what comes in our mind, but we can control what we allow in our heart. And if you don't know the truth of who Jesus is and you don't know the truth of who you are, the enemy will spew lies into your ears that will get into your heart that create strongholds. Huh? Am I right? Come on, encounter. Salvation was for our mind too. Put on the helmet of salvation so it protects your mind. When them flamey darts, that poison that people speak into your life come into your life and it doesn't line up with who God says you are, you denounce it. Don't let it in your heart. Because if you do, you'll begin to identify yourself as that. And God didn't climb up on no hill of Calvary up on a cross for you to identify yourself as powerless, as unforgiven. He didn't call up on there to say you're not healed. God climbed up on that hill of Calvary to empower us so that we knew the truth by the blood of Jesus of who we are. God says that we are perfectly, beautifully made in His image. I don't know about you. I love the fact that I'm made in God's image. That gives me hope that God's seen me enough to make me just like Him. And He made each of you uniquely to yourself, but just like Him. And don't ever let anyone ever tell you any different. But hey, when we receive salvation, it's instant. But freedom is a process. You've got to walk your salvation out daily. You've got to protect your mind. Number six, this is the last one on the armor of God, and it's the sword of the Spirit. It says the sword of the Spirit is the only piece of armor that is an offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It's the Bible. See, we've put this suit on. We've cinched our belt up. We've tied our breastplate to the belt. We've shodded our feet up with the gospel of peace and tied it to the belt. We've got the shield of faith hanging on our back. It's hanging off of the breastplate. And now we've got the helmet of salvation. We've got a suit. We're protected. I told you a while ago, all God calls you to do is stand firm. You want to know why? Because the sword of the Spirit, look here, is the Word of God. It's the Bible. The sword of the Spirit separates lies from truth, bondage from freedom, despair from hope, chaos from peace, powerless from power. The Word of God, that's what goes before us. That's where our victory comes from. Because our words on our own are powerless. But when we speak the words of God into the life of our enemy, he has but one choice, and that's to flee. Because darkness cannot reside where there is light. He has to flee. That's why knowing the Word of God is so important, it's so vital. It's because when the enemy comes and we're anchored down and we've got those big old caligas dug into the ground and we've got our shield and we're covered and we've got our helmet on, we're standing still, standing our ground, and God goes before us, slaying our enemies with the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. It doesn't say the sword of Justin. It doesn't say the sword of Ann or Carolyn. It says the sword of the Spirit, and it goes before us and annihilates our enemies. It has already gone before us and won victory for us. But in the middle of this battle, when you can stand firm and say, no, I'm victorious over that addiction. I'm victorious over that relationship. I'm victorious over that. I'm victorious over that because of this, this, and this, whatever the Word of God says, whatever God's speaking to you about your situation. If you don't know the truth of who God is, who you are in God, if you're not living a righteous life, and wearing the breastplate of righteousness. You don't have your arms locked with brothers and sisters and feet and shields of faith praying. You don't have your mind protected by what you watch. Yeah, what you're watching, what you hear, what you see, they're portals to the mind. Because you leave it in here long enough, it's going to pour itself down to your heart, and then it's going to spew out of your mouth. And if the Word of God is not spewing out of your mouth as your weaponry, you will be annihilated. But when we use the Word of God to go before us, we're walking on that field of victory. That's power. That's power. Well, you say all of this, how do I know that this is for me? How do I know that this is for me? How do I put on this armor? I'm going to show you how I put it on every morning. We're going to pray for a second. And everybody has their own way. But I can tell you, Matthew 6:33 says, my favorite scripture in the whole Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All other things will be added. All right, that doesn't mean seek God in the morning and he'll fill your checking account up. That's not what he's saying. But what he's saying, he says, you seek me in the morning for everything else. Seek me. Seek my truth. Seek righteousness. Seek the sandals of peace. Seek the shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. He said, I'll take the sword and I will slay the enemy for you. And this is how I do it. I want to ask you to bow your heads. And it's a simple prayer that I pray every morning on my way out the door till I go to work, and I say, Father, number one, thank you, God, that I hit my feet on the ground this morning because of you. God, there's air in my lungs this morning because of you, and all the things that are good today, God, I owe you glory for it. Every penny and dime that I have, God, you've given me. Thank you for my house. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my health. Thank you for all that you've done. And God, I ask that you wrap your hedge of protection around my family, Father God. And God, I pray, Father, that your spirit saturate the walls of my house. God, I pray your protection over my wife's mind. God, I pray you protect her as she goes to work. I pray over my babies, God, Gracie and Kerrigan and Cody, God. And I pray for the spouses, God, that you're going to bring into their life, Father. I pray for the plan that you have for their life. God, I pray protection over them. I pray over my babies' minds. I pray over their hearts, God. I pray, Father God, that they wear their helmet of salvation. God, that you gird them up with the breastplate of righteousness today. God, that they shod their feet with the gospel of peace. And that my babies operate in truth and they cinch the belt of truth up, God. And God, I pray that my kids know that they can lock their arms with mama and daddy and people at the church and pray over the things in their life, God. And I pray that their faith is strengthened through what you do in their life. And God, most of all, I thank you that you go before my family in victory. I thank you that you go before me and make a way to work and to home. I thank you that you make a way for my wife, for my kids. Thank you for all that you do in my life in Jesus' name. That's all I do. Every morning, I put that armor on. But then I walk out of that door. And I have to walk in that armor daily. I have to walk in righteousness. I have to walk in faith. I have to walk in truth. I have to walk in peace. I have to study the Word of God and the sword of the Spirit, because if I don't, I'll get annihilated. And if I ever wake up, because I have so many times, and I leave a piece of my armor sitting at the house, it leaves me vulnerable for the enemy to attack. Put on your armor, people. Put it on. Don't just put it on, but wear it. Live it. Breathe it. It should become part of you. Now I'm going to show you a little bit about authority. This last section Some fast facts on spiritual authority. Here we go. Number one, authority is a power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience, and to act in a specific way. Yes, encounter, you have the power to give orders to the enemy. You have the power to tell the enemy to flee. You possess that power. And to enforce obedience. And hey, when it's talked about enforcing obedience, that's self-obedience. You should be enforcing self-obedience in your life daily. I'm the authority figure in my house. And I have to enforce obedience into my children sometimes. Because they're not quite there yet. I also have to do it in myself. Because if I don't enforce obedience in myself, well, I've seen the destruction that comes from that. Number two, here's your proof. Jesus is the ultimate and final authority over the enemy. He defeated death, hell, and the grave when he died and rose again. Number three, when we put our faith and trust in him and his finished work, we gain access to all he has. Hey, when we put our faith and trust in him, hey, salvation is the first thing. You receive that salvation. But hey, when we put our trust in him and our faith in him and his finished work, we do, there's our responsibility, is we put our faith and trust in him. The privilege is we gain access to all that is his. Well, I don't know about y'all, the last time I checked, it all belonged to my Father. It all belonged to my Father. Number four, Jesus has given us all of his authority to us here on earth. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yes, authority belongs to us now. It belonged to them then, and it'll belong to us to the end of the ages. It didn't die with the disciples. Okay? It didn't die back there. The authority and the power of the Holy Spirit exist in here right now. And we have full access to it because we are his. Number five, it says we access that authority against the enemy by knowing Jesus and using his name. John 14, 12 and 14 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. He's talking about you, Encounter. He's talking about you tonight. He says, if you ask me to do it in my name, I'll do it. But it has to line up with God's will. Because if it don't line up with God's will, then God, and he does it, he's not who he says he is. But his will for your life is perfect. It's greater than anything you could ever imagine, ever want or desire on your own accord. So the things when we ask in the will of God and line up with the will of God, we're asking for something above and beyond anything we could ever do on our own and anything we could ever obtain on our own. And he says, I'll do it for you. And then number six, this is what Jesus did during his earthly ministry. His name now does through us. Mark 6 and 7, he says, and he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. That's spiritual warfare. I'm going to read these last two and then we'll wrap up. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says, God has put all, listen to me, all things under the authority of Christ. And has made him head over all things for the benefits of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. John 14 says, 12 through 13 says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose from the grave. It says that we were seated with him. It says that the Bible says that we rose up with Jesus. All right? He come out of the grave. He took us out of the graves that we could not overcome. And he says now that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and God has put all authority under Jesus. That means that if I'm in Jesus, the scripture just said so, and Jesus has all authority, what does that mean, Encounter? Y'all ain't getting it. Come on now. If I'm raised up in Jesus and I am the body of Christ, it just said it. And it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ. All things. He has put addiction. He has put lost loved ones. He has put evil. He has put murder. He has put gluttony. He has put whatever it is. He has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of who? The church. Who are we? The church. God put his son, authority figure of all authority over every, for us. And it says, and the church is his body. We are the body of Christ. We have full authority over the enemy, over the strongholds, over the addictions, over the hurt relationships and the worry and the concern, whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with, you have authority over it because of Jesus Christ. Do y'all understand that? We are sitting in a room of 100 people that have complete authority in their life through the blood of Jesus. And you can have all the authority in the world, but if you don't access it, come on. Let's not talk about it if we're not going to access it. You got to access that authority. That authority comes through the Word of God, knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing who Christ is and what he has done in your life, knowing that authority and applying that authority. Go look at a cop. By his uniform alone, because of a plastic badge and a belt with a gun on it, it displays what? Authority. Well, I got news for you. Y'all don't wear cop uniforms. You wear a red uniform because you're covered in the blood of Jesus. And when the enemy sees that blood, when the enemy sees that red suit, the enemy says, uh-oh, that one has authority right there. But the further you get away from Jesus, the lighter that red is. And it may be a little light glowing pink. And the enemy says, you know what, I can get that one. But the closer I get to the cross and the closer I get to the blood and the more I let the blood pour over me through my walk in Jesus Christ, that enemy wakes up and he says, we're going to have to go at this and at a different angle because he's covered. He has authority in Jesus. I can't defeat Jesus because he's already taken the keys from me. I have no authority over this one they call Jesus, and he belongs to him. I can't defeat him. I can pick on him, but I can't defeat him. I can throw up flares in his way, but I can't defeat him, Amber. Brittany, he can't defeat you when you're close to Christ. Corey, you've got the authority of Jesus Christ resonating through your body. You have authority in your life, sister. Jennifer, you have authority in your life through the blood of Jesus. What does your uniform look like? What does your uniform look like? Is it dripping with red blood because you're so close to the feet of Jesus that the enemy says, uh-oh, he's up. We're going to have to work extra hard at this one. Or is it fading because you're choosing your own path, your own way, and your own will? And the enemy says, there's a weak spot. There's a weak spot in his armor. Go get that one. You have the right and the authority to through what Jesus Christ did on the cross to wake up every day and to march with a dripping blood red suit of authority. I don't know about y'all, but that's how I want to live my life, because I'm tired of getting whooped. I'm tired of getting beat up on. Encounter, if you're tired of getting beat up on, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand firm. In Jesus' name, stand firm. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Just thank you. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for this class. Thank you, God, for what you and you alone have done in the hearts of your people. God, it ain't the team. It's not the teaching. It's not the music. It's not the food. God, it's the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that you pour your Spirit out over us this next week, God. And Father, if our suit isn't dripping red, Father, I pray that you draw us near. I pray, God, that we take the necessary steps, God, to climb up in the lap of the Father, God, that we may not only display authority and have access to it, but God, we use it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.